You're turning to the book of 2 Peter tonight. A few announcements. This Friday night, there's a youth event. There's going to be a pizza and game night that's going to be out here at the church. And please come be a part of that. Those that are, I don't think everybody can come, but those that are of age and able to come, please come be a part of that. And also, many of the young people already know that we're going to go to a youth retreat May 22nd through the 24th, and that's going to be in Hertford, North Carolina. Edith's in that same vicinity, and that's going to be at Camp Kale Retreat, and that's going to be a good time in the Lord. Teenagers, if you're able to go, you'll thoroughly enjoy it. I'm telling you, good preaching, good fellowship. It's good to get around children of like faith. Amen. There's something about getting around young, holiness, good-living people that's seeking for God's will. They're seeking for the Holy Ghost. They're seeking for direction. You'll get a lot more out of them than you will from worldly friends, I promise. I promise. And we need to get together. It's good for, and we do these retreats. We started years ago, the fellowship, it's just a group of churches. And we've done those for years now, and they've been really helpful. As a matter of fact, I got saved at one. So it was very special to me. And a prayer meeting that's coming up Saturday at 8:30 a.m. Amen. Be here for that. And there'll be a board meeting following that. And of course, VBS is coming up. And about the kids and the getting the derby cars ready. And I know people handle that. But God bless you. And I appreciate you here tonight. 2 Peter. And if you're there, just say amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 12 through 15. And this is what it says, 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. I want you to notice that, remembrance. Of these things that you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shewed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Did you notice that? That's a very reoccurring term. And then look at chapter 3, just a verse there. Chapter 3 and verse 1, same author. He says this, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, Peter saw it fit to continually to say this about remembrance. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight as a church, about a place called remembrance. A place called remembrance. And I want to deal with this fact of how important it is that our memory, and it is a work of the Holy Ghost that stirs up our pure minds in the way of remembrance. Remembering what God has done for us, where He brought us from. So just pray with me as we go into this sermon and just ask the Holy Ghost to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You today and thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your kindness. I appreciate all that You do for us, Holy Ghost. I thank You, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, for the foolishness of preaching. And I would, in the name of Jesus Christ, that You would help us and strengthen us. Let this Word find root in our heart tonight. In the name of Jesus, God, anoint us, touch us, anoint their ears, that they can receive of the Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. A place called remembrance. You will notice here in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, remembrance is mentioned three different times. And I read to you there in chapter 3, and remembrance is mentioned there again. And he said, the way of remembrance. You would have to understand the book of 2 Peter, just like very similar to the book of 2 Timothy today. Peter knows that his life is soon over. He is here seeming to remember the words that he had with Jesus by that fire. I think it's John chapter 21. Many of you would know the story where he said, Jesus looked at Peter and said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? He would say that three times. Peter would look at him and say, Lord, you know that I love you. And we know then that Jesus would go on further in that same chapter to begin to relay to Peter that, Peter, you are basically going to lay down your life for this gospel. You are going to lay down your life for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So here you would have to understand when Peter here. It's talking about this way of remembrance. He's talking about this place called remembrance. He said something like this, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle. He is reminding us, and he was remembering in his mind the words that Jesus spoke to him about the death that he should die. Now you must understand today, dealing with this idea of remembrance, this is a ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a ministry of the Holy Ghost in the life of believers. It is something that all of us have a place. We have a place called remembrance. We have somewhere in our minds, we have somewhere in our spiritual walk with God, certain landmarks, certain places that we relate to, certain places that we often refer back to, be it the day that you got saved, be it the day that you got the Holy Ghost, the day the Lord did a sanctifying work in your life, the day that God healed you. There's always places and milestones in the life of the believer that we are able to stir it up, and we find present help and present strength in those times. We would understand here throughout Scripture, this is something that God does in our lives, and I would like to encourage you tonight to tell you that God does not give you a spiritual blessing. God does not give you a spiritual miracle, be it salvation or healing or any form. He does not do that for it to be short-lived and to disappear. When God gives you something, it is yours forever. I want to say that again, because some feel like they've got to get saved every week. It is yours forever. As long as you maintain it, as long as you live within the realms of the Scripture, it is yours forever. My mind went back to Luke 10 and 41. And this is dealing with Martha and Mary. It says this, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What Jesus was saying is that what she's about to receive and what she is receiving, it is hers while she's here in this world. It is hers while she's on this earth. It is hers. So that's encouraging for us today, that when God does something in your life, He wants it to be there. He wants it to be something that you live on. He wants it to be something that you relate back to. It should not always take a new experience. There's some things that God does in our life that should be there as present motivation day after day. You can look back and say, I worship God today for when He saved me. I worship God today for when He filled me. It should not always take some hype or some excitement. It should be there. But you have to be honest. We're very apt to forget. We're very apt to have a revival or a camp meeting where we make proclamations unto the Lord and God, I'm going to do better. To find that burns out very fast. You've done it, I've done it. Understand, friend, because this is something that is important. When we look here at 2 Peter in verses 12 through 15, when it mentions remembrance three different times, each one of these words have a different meaning. Each one of these words in the Greek have a different word, so much when Peter was doing something, every time he said remembrance was three times in verses 12 through 15, he was reminding us of something. The very first time in verse 12, that word remembrance there means a statue or a resemblance. Then you'll find in verse 13, it's more of a recollection, more of an activity. And then in verse 15, it's more of a memory or a memorial. So understand, when we study this throughout Scripture, and you begin to put it together, when you begin to study it, the whole idea is almost like a scar. It takes you back to the story and all of the details. Let me give you an example. My finger right here has a major scar on it if you look at it. It looks like I've been burnt. But that's not what happened. I remember, I look at this sometimes and my memory begins almost like a film to play. It's there. I begin to think, I remember that camp meeting when we had that little cement handicap ramp. And I got on a little cart that had wheels, and I hit that brick wall so hard, and it dragged me down that wall by hand. It ripped my finger wide open. I went into the fellowship hall at Happy Home Camp Meeting. It was sawdust on the floor. I went in there, and there was a man by the name of King George that had 5 Band-Aids, and he put it on my finger. I remember all of that. I was 6 years old, all because I have a scar. Some details there, isn't it? But there's a lot of things I don't remember from 6 years old. If I could shave my head here today, I'm not going to do it because I'm afraid it will not come back. But if I could shave my head, you would see about four big spots on my head from where I got in the pool accident and had two concussions. I can look at those and remember. I was on the back of a four-wheeler with a guy named Stephen Copeland. We went around a corner. It was a sharp curve. His brother was coming the other way around the curve. We hit. James Copeland, his brother, had to be flew and get a metal jaw. I mean, it was a lot that happened. I remember all of that because of scars. So what I'm trying to get you to understand today, that when dealing with the idea of remembrance, it's almost like a scar spiritually. Not physically, but spiritually. It's something that took place in your life. You can look at it. You can remember the date. You can remember the day. You can remember who was there. You can remember all about it because there is an etch in your life. There's a positive scar in your life that brings back that memory. You knew where you were when it happened, and you know all about the situation. Good example, when you got saved, most people can tell you where they were. I have trouble with people always having God speak to them and they can't tell you nothing about it or where they were. It worries me. But when I got saved, youth meeting, October retreat, Pennsylvania, Lancaster, in a little plastic chair. You know, I remember that. It's a scar. It is a positive thing in my life. When I got the Holy Ghost, it was a Friday night, Brother Roger Luke preaching a revival. What I'm trying to relay to you tonight, friends, is that all of you have them here. There are places in your spiritual life that you look to. You draw strength through them. You can say, how many remembers when you got saved at? How many remembers when God done this, or God healed you, or God filled you? It is all there because it is a positive scar. That's why the devil gives you scars as well. It's amazing. An alcoholic, when he gets saved, he'll drive past that bar house and it begins to play. It does. Or when somebody used to buy drugs from so-and-so's house, or somebody used to go here in a relationship with this person or that person, or this person got in a tragic accident here and they passed that spot, and it begins to echo that film almost in their minds. It begins to remind them a place called remembrance. I want you to understand this today, friend, because it is important as a Christian, if you're going to make it, to stir up your pure minds of remembrance. Hear me. Dealing with this today, even Jesus would tell us in 1 Corinthians 11 and 24, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do. And then He would go on to say after the same manner, He also took the cup which He had supped, saying, this cup is of the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as often as you drink it. In remembrance of me. So understand, friend, when you learn what remembrance means in the Bible, it's almost like taking something that happened before and you make it a present truth. And that's what Peter even says here. He says, I want you to do this. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things that you know them and be established in the present truth. Peter was saying, you can take something that's already happened. You can look at that. You can draw motivation. You can draw zeal. You can draw some sort of anointing to where it motivates you spiritually. And you can make it a present truth. You know how many times I've had to walk the devil back to the altar and say, right here it happened, devil. You know how many times you have to do that? You have to get down and pray and say, God, that really did happen to me. God, you really did tell me that. The circumstances are pointing other ways. The devil trying to tell me this. My flesh is saying this. But God, it was right here by this sofa you spoke to me. It was right here by this sofa. You gave me that verse of scripture. It was at that church. It was in that altar. And there you have to stir up your pure minds in remembrance. That's what Jesus meant at the Last Supper. He says, when you do this, He said, do it in remembrance of me. Have you ever been into a communion service that you just felt Christ was there so strong? I remember one service years ago, and it may be different to some. We set up tables. And we sat around. It was probably about 40 of us. And we set a chair there and just did it out of just remembrance. I remember sitting there as I put that wafer in my mouth. I mean, the presence of God was there so strong. It wasn't made up. It wasn't phony or make-believe. There were good living holiness people, and they lived right, and we were there remembering Christ. We put the wafer in our mouth. We drank the grape juice. But I tell you, I felt the presence of God so near. He was there to heal. He was there to encourage. I felt like a disciple at the Last Supper. You know why? Because I was was doing it in remembrance of Him, something that happened over 2,000 years ago. I was making a present truth, and there I had motivation. I said, Christ, I trust You for Your redemptive work. I trust You for what You're going to do. And it's real. And You can make it happen even here tonight. Now, dealing with this, Fred, this is so important. It says this, hear me. It is also a ministry of the Holy Ghost. That's what John 14 and 26 says this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. It says the Holy Ghost will bring all things to your remembrance. You ever had the Holy Ghost remind you of anything? He'll do it. We're asking God to kick the prison doors open. And God says, no. Look what I've already done for you. Keep your faith. Sometimes God will do miraculous. But understand, all the times we must draw motivation for what He's already done. Hear me today, friend. It also amazes us. It tells you it's a ministry of the Holy Ghost. But does it not amaze you that when a saint of God, sometimes when they begin to go through sickness, when they're older and different things, one of the last things to go is their spiritual remembrance? I find that amazing. I go see my grandfather in the nursing home in Elizabeth City sometimes. He has Alzheimer's and don't know who I am. Sometimes he responds to the name of Jesus. I remember my grandmother, I mentioned her this morning, when she wasn't all there in her mind, she was just struggling in her mind, but for some reason she still prayed. It's an activity and a work of the Holy Ghost. That word remembrance there, it means this. He said He's going to bring it to your remembrance. He's going to bring it to your remembrance, not mine, not your neighbor. He's going to bring it to your remembrance. Hear me today, friend. When you look that word up, it means to be reminded quietly. Have you ever been in a service where your neighbor may not have been feeling much? Somebody in front of you may not have been getting in. Somebody in the choir maybe not have got in, but you felt the Holy Ghost remind you of something, and there it broke out into spontaneous worship. Wow. You're living in remembrance. Hear me. It's not always a new revelation, friend. Sometimes God just needs to give you a greater revelation of what already is. We live in a charismatic age where everything, you know, like I've said before, all of them been fishing with Jesus. They open their cereal and angels fly out. It's just amazing. Everything. But then you ask them about what's already been done. What's already been said. What's already been established. They have no experience within the realms of Scripture. But I'm telling you, friend, God can give us new experiences and thank God for them. But thank God for the old experiences. I still can live off of them. I can still live off the night I got saved. I can still live off that time when I first got saved and trusted God to heal me from the flu. And I believe He did it with no medicine. That was just my personal experience. But I believe it. It is a scar that I go by. All of you have them. All of you can say, Brother Derek, I remember one time I prayed for this. And I remember one day this happened. Don't be discouraged. Let the Holy Ghost bring that to your mind and let it excite you in your spirit. Let it be something you say, praise the Lord. Hear me today, friend, because this is something that is missing. It is almost like when the Holy Ghost does this, and when He brings it to our mind, when we're in the presence of the Lord, and He begins to bring things to our remembrance, it's almost like it just happened all over again. You feel the same fire, you feel the same zeal, you feel the same commitment, you feel the freshness of the Spirit. All this because He reminded you of what He already did. There's been times that I needed the Holy Ghost to touch me. And He would touch me. It was almost, Sister Barna, like I got refilled in the Holy Ghost. And I probably did. I know I did. And it was almost like I said, it feels the same it did years ago. It's still fresh. There's times you may, God may speak something into your mind. He may give you a burden. He may show you a direction in His will. And over time you begin to lose that burden or that desire. And all it takes is one service to come in and you'll feel the sweet voice of God say it one more time and you'll say, I'll still go, Lord. I'll do it. A place called Remembrance. I dealt this morning in 2 Timothy when Paul said, I have remembrance of you. I'm just going to show you a story in the Old Testament, which I find amazing. And it says that you can, I just want you to go there if you want in 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're just going to look at a few verses of Scripture. I want to show you what God did in Elijah's life. And God gave Elijah a call back to remembrance. Now many of you know the story. Elijah's 63 word prayer. Fire falls from heaven. My God of heaven. Amazing, isn't it? Them Baal prophets were jumping up and down and taking rocks and cutting themselves. And even I like Elijah. He got a little sarcastic with them. Maybe he's on a vacation or something. Maybe your God's at Disney World or something. Amen. But here we know that one of the most probably conflicting things as a believer. How did Elijah go from calling fire down from heaven to running into the wilderness depressed and fearing his life and wanting to die, all in the same few chapters? Now we look at that and thank God it's in there, because you've been there and I have too. Hear me today. When we look at this story of Elijah, and I'm just going to show you a few different things here if you'll keep your Bibles handy. In Elijah 19, I'll get there in a moment. I want to just deal with this today on what I would like to call that Elijah had spiritual amnesia. Now amnesia, you know, is a loss of memory due to shock or being wounded or being overwhelmed. But here this woman by the name of Jezebel has thrown Elijah in a melancholy state of mind. He's in a depressed state. He cannot remember things. He is all of a sudden, it's almost like he just didn't call fire down from heaven. It's almost like he didn't see no miracles. All of that just happened, but he forgot all about it. All because of this woman named Jezebel. Now, dealing with this today, just in study over the years, there are three stages of amnesia. One of the first stages of amnesia is this. You forget who they are, and you forget who your family is. You get to the place, you cannot really remember who you are. And you cannot even remember who everybody in your family is. All because of that shock or that initial hurt or that overwhelming thing that happened. You get to a place that you cannot remember. And if you look in verse 4 of chapter 19, this is what he said. It says he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down underneath a juniper tree, and he requested that he might die. It is not enough, O Lord, take away from my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He got to the place he couldn't remember what God just did for him. He got to the place he said, God, I'm not even worthy. I'm not even as good as my family was. I'm not as good as my spiritual fathers. I'm not as good as those like David and Joseph and Moses. I'm not as good as they are. He needed to be reminded God is no respecter of persons. He got to the place he forgot his calling. Understand, friend, this also happens within the church world. You can tell very quickly when somebody's going through a spiritual amnesia. They almost forget who their church family is, and they forget who they are as a believer. You're a son of God if you're born again. These people are your brothers and sisters if you're born again. They're not your enemies. They're not against you. If you're suffering from that today, you have spiritual amnesia. First time somebody's struggling in church, they seem to act like everybody's against them. Pastor this, sister this, brother that. And then they begin to think to themselves, I'm unworthy. God, I'm not good enough. The second part of amnesia, you cannot recall important dates or events. It's almost like certain things never even happened. Elijah was there. He didn't feel the motivation he felt on Mount Carmel. He didn't feel the motivation he did when he was telling that widow woman, now you go, and there's going to be meal in that barrel, and you're going to have oil. Don't you worry about it. He's sitting here. I mean, he's in a tragic state of mind. He's even wanting to die. That's going to be pretty bad. He's here. He cannot recall important dates or events. I would like to relate to you tonight that the same thing happens with Christians when they get spiritual amnesia. It's almost like they cannot remember what it felt like to be saved. They cannot remember what it felt like to be filled. They cannot remember what it felt like for that sermon to hit them in the right spot. It's almost like they can't recall any important dates or anything, any special events that God has given them. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants us to throw pity parties for ourselves. He wants us to sit there and say, I'm not even saved. I'm not even happy in the Lord. Where's that peace, Lord? That spiritual amnesia. But also understand this. And the third stage of amnesia is this. Another identity begins to set in. It's almost like that individual becomes a different person. When you look at Elijah in chapter 17 and 18, then look at Elijah in chapter 19, you just wonder what happened. He's a different person. Is this you? It's almost like seeing Samson beforehand and afterwards. Is this the great man that delivered Israel? Is this the man of God that called fire down from heaven? Hear me today, friend, because this is something we must understand. You can tell in the house of God when people have forgotten important events. They forgot who their family was. They come to church and they're not the same person they were before. It doesn't take a prophet to understand. You can tell when somebody's on the way out. You can tell when somebody's backsliding. Then you tell that to them and they act like you're magic. Say, no, the signs are there. You're not the same you were when you prayed through. You're not the same you were when you fasted and prayed. You're not the same you were last week. You can tell a difference when somebody has an experience with God. They remember that. They're keeping that motivation. And you can tell somebody that's over here and they can't remember nothing God's done for them. They first get saved, they're like, ain't nothing like it. All of a sudden, they're like, I don't know what to do. Hear me today, friend, because this is important. The enemy would love to have you so discouraged that you are different than what you were. He would not like you to remember who your family was. He would not like you to recall important dates and events. And he would like another identity to take place. All because this woman Jezebel, you can also notice in verse 2 of chapter 19, it says this, if I make not the... Jezebel was saying this to Elijah. He said, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, referring to the Baal prophets about this time, understand, it was Jezebel's wife that was driving Elijah, not the Word of God. Anytime you let the devil's words drive you more than the voice of God, you're having spiritual amnesia and you're heading out the door. And you also notice a different tone in Elijah's, in his words in verses 3 and 4. It says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. In verse 4, he says this, he requested for himself that he might die. He began to focus on himself and not others. You can tell when somebody's spiritual focus, it begins to go from helping and evangelizing to me, myself, and I. I'm going through it. And it's all right. You are going to go through things. It's all right to confess your faults. But it should not always be about you. It shouldn't always be about Derek. We must get over that mentality. You can understand Elijah's words begin to turn inwards. We know the story. He ran. He sat underneath the juniper tree. And he said this, I'd just rather die. You know the story of what happened. An angel stopped by. And it says here in verse 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Now, I just want to present this to you in this way. I believe, and you can disagree, God was reminding Elijah who he was and what he had done. I just think, and I'm sorry, just the way my mind is. I just picture Elijah there. I mean, he has to look rough. Sitting underneath the juniper tree, I'd rather die in a house or something. You know, out there, nobody's going to find you. You're just out there underneath the juniper tree. You're sitting there. You're wanting to die. All of a sudden, you wake up. You see an angel. And the angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Is it possible that Elijah's mind began to remember, God does love me. This angel here, this is Old Testament. You see an angel, you're going to die. But his angel's here, he's cooking. Think about it. Had to be good food. Maybe it was angel food cake. But understand, he's sitting here, and all of a sudden this angel says unto him, arise and eat, and I
just think in my mind, just maybe it's not scriptural, maybe Elijah's mind went back to when he was praying for the widow's son and the widow's son arose. Get up, Elijah. Maybe it echoed through his spirit. Get up, son, you're alive. Then you read on, the Bible says this, and he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. Now just the way I think again, maybe the wheels begin to turn in Elijah's mind. And all of a sudden in Elijah's mind, he could look and on the horizon, he's by the brook Cherith, and there on the horizon, he sees ravens coming with bread in their mouth. Maybe the ravens took the bread off Jezebel's table. We don't know, but we understand this. The ravens are coming. They got bread in their mouth, and Elijah's thinking, look here, that really did happen. Maybe Elijah's mind goes back to the time he's looking at the widow woman in Zarephath. He says, ma'am, bake me a cake. Hey, you don't understand, Mr. Man of God. Bake you a cake? I'm about to go make me a cake for me and my son, and we're going to lay down and die. Listen here, ma'am, if you bake me a cake first, thus saith the word of the Lord, that barrel will not waste, the cruse of oil will not waste, the barrel will not run out. And I understand it, just I believe he has to remember what it was like for that widow woman to go into the cupboard and she would reach down in the bottom of that barrel. She would get that handful of meal. Her fingers are scraping the bottom every time she does it, but she goes back the next day and it's still there. She goes back the next day and there's still meal in the barrel. There's still oil in the pot. I believe in my mind maybe he had to remember that. Not only that, but the Bible says this, and a cruse of water at his head. Then again, maybe he's remembering, boy, that brook Cherith was some good water. Maybe he remembers as reaching down when the rest of the country's in a drought. Maybe he remembers reaching down into that cool, glistening spring and reaching down with his hands and bringing up that fresh water. And there God sustained him until he went to Zarephath and he told that woman, give me some water out of that well. Not only that, friends, but you have to remember, it's just the way my mind thinks again. He looked over and seen them glowing coals at that fire where that angel was cooking. And maybe he remembered what it felt like to stand there by the Baal prophets with fire falling from heaven. I just have to believe that in my heart, that there had to be some place of remembrance. Maybe not in that order, maybe not on that fashion, but this angel, God used this angel to remind Elijah who he was. But I want to tell you, church, we don't need an angel. We have the Holy Ghost. He comes by and he reminds us what he's done for us. He reminds us of the day that we were saved. He reminds us of the day that we were filled. He reminds us it is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. A place called remembrance. I just feel this in my heart tonight. Some of you need to remember. Some of you need to, look, get off of the place that you're in maybe. Maybe you're in a drought, or maybe you're sitting underneath a juniper tree. Maybe you're almost wishing you almost to give up spiritually. Maybe you're just wishing for something else to happen. Maybe you'll find yourself in a spiritual rut where you don't feel like nothing's happened. Remember. Remember, if that isn't enough evidence for you with Elijah's life, I want you to notice what it says in 1 Kings 19:8. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days, 200 miles. 40 days he went, 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Does anybody know what Horeb, the Mount of God is? That's where Moses seen that burning bush. Maybe in the mind of Elijah, he was thinking, if I can just get to that mountain. If I can just... He went there for a reason. If I can just get there. I know Moses seen a burning bush there. I know God has spoken from that mountain. I know He has given us commandments. But I remember where it's at. I remember what God did there. And I want to get to that same place. That is the place Moses saw the burning bush. That's the same place that God said, I am the great I am. That is the same place that God told Moses, go to Egypt and get my people out. And I believe Elijah began to remember and said, I must get to that mountain. It's real, church. There's times you've got to get the spiritual motivation, not only what God has done in your life, but remember what God has done in others. If you ain't got enough memory to go on and you're a young Christian, look around. If God hadn't spoke to you before, it's through a still small voice, He hadn't given you direction, you're seeking the will of God and you can't figure out what to do, won't you look to an elder in the church and say, how did it happen for you? Did you see the burning bush? Where was it at? Tell me. You fasted and prayed. Maybe I need to try that. Understand, Elijah had a place called remembrance. And we would read throughout the Scripture, you know the story. There was an earthquake there, and in that mountain, he was in that cave. There was an earthquake and fire, but no, he was in none of that. But he was in the still, small voice. And if you'll notice what the Bible says, and I'm not going to be much longer as my wife makes her way to the piano. Elijah, it said he went to the mouth of that cave in verse 13. It says, and it was so when Elijah heard the voice of God, heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went up. This mantle was the same mantle he gave Elisha later on. The mantle throughout Scripture is a picture of the Holy Ghost. You would understand that mantle. I just believe within myself. You can study about the mantle throughout Scripture. The men of God and those that wore those mantles, when the desert got hot, they would wrap themselves in that mantle at times. When they were in the deserts and the winds were blowing, they would wrap their face in that mantle so the sand would not burn their eyes. At night when it got real cold, they would take that mantle and they would wrap it around themselves to keep warm. That mantle is a type and a picture of the Holy Ghost. I just picture Elijah going to that cave. The Bible says he wrapped his face in it. Maybe he could smell the sand on it. Maybe his memory went back to Mount Carmel. He left that cave inspired to do the will of God. If you would stand to your feet tonight. Remembrance, friend. A place called remembrance. Hope you understand tonight, as I already said, it's a ministry of the Holy Ghost. But sometimes, as a believer, it takes tragedy for us to remember. Sometimes it takes spiritual deserts for us to walk through, for us to remember what God has already done for us. I read a story years ago about a soldier that went to war, and in the war something happened where he ended up blind. He came home one day, he was sitting on a sofa. And one of the little children he knew came in up to him and said, Mister, I feel so bad for you being blind. Somebody else, even adults, would say to him, I feel so bad for you being blind. He said these words, it's all right, for in darkness my memory was born again. In darkness my memory was born again. Brother Derek, it's dark out there in this world. Wickedness, sin, iniquity, all sorts of things going on. The government, the laws, the music, the day is horrible. It's perilous times. Let me tell you, church, it may take darkness for the church's memory to be born again. It's easy when the fire's falling. It's easy when everything's smooth. It's easy when the church is in prosperity. But it may take persecution for us to look at things that God's already done and say, I'm going to make them things right there a present truth. How important is it? It's vital. Your remembrance in Christ is vital. My mind, I've got many other examples. I could preach another hour on this subject, but I'm not going to. Man by the name of David being chased by Saul. discouraged, running for his life. He went to the priest, temple, the house. Now, I believe it was Ahimelech or Abimelech, something like that. I can't quite remember. But he went in there and he said, we know we don't agree with everything David did in there. But David looked at the priest. He said, do you have bread? Then he goes on to say, do you even have a weapon? I mean, a discouraged man of God. That priest came back to David. David, we don't have no weapons here except one. We've got the sword of Goliath. Can you just picture it in your mind? David said these words. He said, there ain't a sword like it. I just picture David, Brother Neff, looking at that sword. Discouraged. I believe maybe when he grabbed the handle of that sword, his memory kicked in motion. The Valley of Elah. Giant. I'm all by myself. I'm going to die if God don't move. But I didn't come here with a spear and a sword. I come here in the name of the Lord. Go up there, threw a stone, killed Goliath. Took this sword right here and cut his head off. A place called remembrance. I could go through Samson and I could go through Job. I could go through many other aspects of Scripture. But I hope you're convinced tonight it is a work of God. It's a ministry of the Holy Ghost. Everyone in this room tonight, when you come around these altars and pray, of course we've got things we want God to move in. But let God take something He's already done. Let Him transfer it to a present motivation and truth and zeal. And say, God, I'm going to leave here and I'm going to worship You like I've never worshipped You before. God, I'm going to leave here. I'm going to pray like I've never prayed. I'm going to read. I'm going to go forward. God is dark. But memory is born again in darkness. Embrace it and let the Holy Ghost work. These altars are open for everybody in this building. Empty them pews and find you a place to pray tonight. Let the Holy Ghost remind you. As Peter would say to us, he said, I want you to remember. I want you to remember. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to remember. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, stir this church up. Move in every life. Stir.